My goodness, what a fantastic day in Columbus, Ohio. It is a Monday. It is spring football eve, and we are at Roosters for a fun casual chat in a fun casual joint. That is Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter, Nicole Cox. Bob, spring is in the air, baby.
It's in the air.
I cannot wait for Tuesday. Do you have the buzz?
Yeah, I'm excited. All right. And
you seem a little laid back.
I had something else that just literally crept into my mind there at the very end. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. I've got classes. Monday's class.
I know you're a busy Monday, man. Wednesday. You're not thinking about.
I'm excited.
9 a.m. in the Woody.
Well, I'm excited that they kept. My classes are Monday, Wednesday, and I'm excited that. In the previous years, they had practice Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for the first 2 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Whereas the first 3 weeks are all going to be Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And then I think the last week will probably be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just given the coaches clinic and everything. So it times up a lot better for me. I'm pretty excited about that and excited to see what these guys are going to do. Just how Ryan's going to choose to kind of split reps and figure out how they're going to get it all done. Last year they did some, I don't know if it was camp or spring ball, they did some two-field stuff.
Yeah, training camp.
So I'm sure they'll probably try to integrate some of that just to get enough reps for the quarterbacks and to get those guys work.
I didn't like it for the offensive line.
Well, because it's hard for you to do your job if you're out there paying attention. You'll be able to monitor multiple
things.
It's
hard for anybody. It's hard for the other quarterback to do his job when you don't have anybody blocking for you in front.
I'm not thinking about
it. I think
they're
deeper this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they will be. I mean, they have some of these young guys that they've recruited getting in there and, you know, possibly becoming a backup or, you know, fighting for that starting role. But it's just tough when you start. I just remember how bad it could be.
Yeah.
When you're going with the second line, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And, well, they were rotating them through. It wasn't like somebody just got in the second line.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that's what it wasn't about me. I'm
it's
not.
It's always about you.
I'm not the priority here. I was watching. The quarterbacks, both Kyle McCord then at that time and Devin Brown, like you'd have half of a first-team offensive line and then the rotation, and you'd always see like JT Tuimolo, I'll go attack whatever makeshift version of the line. They couldn't operate anything at the practices that I saw. Now, I don't know if that was the case throughout, Bob. You see more than I do, but it didn't seem like it was productive for practice, and I would like this year, if we're talking about Ohio State's offensive line, which I think I'll just jump ahead to one of the biggest questions that we're all anxious to see in spring camp. Like, maybe if you have to rotate or experiment with one position, like right tackle, per se, maybe keep the other four spots the same and give your quarterbacks a better chance. But I am not a coach, and I won't ever pretend to be one. I'm just spitballing that maybe that'd be more effective.
Well, with that even being said, have they come out and said is there a number one going into camp? They're going into
the number
spring
one
bowl?
Quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, do we have any idea how they're going to plan on spreading those out?
Well, earlier on Monday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, the three quarterbacks, top three quarterbacks, Devin Brown, Lincoln Kienholz, and Will Howard spoke. And they think, you know, it's fun competition. They didn't talk about the reps. And Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are talking on Tuesday after the first practice. So I wish that those had maybe been flipped and reversed so that they could have talked about the way they want to manage the reps throughout camp, because that's another big question.
Well, 100%. I mean, you have a guy who's brand new to the system coming in, and you're going to want to – you got to feel like they think he's going to be the guy. They brought him in. You know, he was a transfer. You want to get him as many reps as possible, but you also have your guys that you recruited, and it's just such a – it's a hard thing to do. I remember going through it with two guys, and it was no fun. So you throw three or four into the mix, there's not enough football to go around with a solid offensive line, I should say.
Nicole, what do you want – how do you want to manage these reps?
Well, I'm thinking. I'm thinking about, well, the conversation we were having before we came on the show. I don't know, just about how I know the focus, and the focus always is to win. But now I feel like it's at a different level. And I feel like there's no room for it's, I don't want to use the word cutthroat, but we just need to get down to business and get everybody where they need to be. And get through this season. And I don't like those words coming out
of
my mouth.
Or urgency. Doesn't have to be cutthroat or wild card or stabability necessarily, unless you want that.
Not with your quarterbacks. I don't know if we need those guys to have those attributes at that position. But, I mean, and I think the starter is going to be – I think it's presumptively Will Howard on that. But the rest of the guys, I mean, they'll be battling there, Nicole. So they'll be figuring out positions and – getting some work. And I don't,
for the quarterbacks will be?
Yeah. I think he's going to try to get them all pretty equal reps. I mean, I think that's the goal, and that's why the two field system gets the most. It's easier to get guys equal reps when you have more reps.
Then
to give.
Why did we bring in another quarterback? If we,
because we lost our starting quarterback.
I know, but we had two backups.
I don't know if people felt that maybe they were quite ready to go for this season. And that's, I think, judging by the bowl game, I think that that may be accurate. Now, maybe it's not. Maybe one of those guys wins the job. Who knows?
So, Bob, how would you manage it then? Because if we're going to have to wait and see until Tuesday morning and then Thursday what Ryan Day and Chip Kelly elect to do, I have thought maybe, given what Jay-Z said, if you go out and get Will Howard, you did it for a reason. You expect with 1 year, someone with that level of experience, he's probably coming in to be the starter. I would think don't need split field. Let him work with the ones because he's going to have to learn the offense. And you find out by the end whether, you know, if you have the backup job and then the twos are dedicated there for Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz to chart their course for the future. That seems to me like a pragmatic approach.
I think the problem is you need to get your young guys reps too. And I say that with Aaron Nolan and Julian. Yes, like both of those guys have to get reps as well. So I think you just need more opportunities to get them out there. Mm-hmm. Like I would anticipate you'll treat Will Howard as the starter. Now other guys will probably get some one reps and maybe Devin Brown rotates through that a little bit. But I think you kind of treat Lincoln and probably the two freshmen fairly similarly.
Okay.
And maybe even Devin like that. But I think that's the purpose of getting, this is no reading the tea leaves here. I mean, this is just how I would do it and look at it. Because if you don't get guys reps, they're going to leave. Like they have to feel like there's a pathway to get on the field.
I agree.
If you're not getting reps, so that's why you split the fields. You have more reps, so you can't tell how good I am if I'm never getting a chance to play, or I only get like two or three a year. You need more. And so I think they'll rotate guys through and around. I would think Will Howard will probably get the lion's share of those ones unless someone else is proving to be more efficient or more effective than he is. And then maybe you would see that transition over the coming weeks. But I think especially in this first week, it'll be, you know, fairly vanilla, and then you might see some more movement here after they get back from spring break.
Well, in the first week, you're also not going to be popping a ton of pads and
team
stuff.
I don't think there'll be any pads.
So it's going to be easy, you know, 7-on-7 type things or whatnot. That's a little bit easier to rotate those guys through because you're not worrying about that offensive and defensive line or, you know, whatnot. So, you know, it is just tough. There's just a lot of balls to go around. I mean, these young guys, freshmen, are they expecting to have a feel where they might have a chance to unseat this
guy? Shouldn't
be,
right?
I mean, it seems like a free for all.
I mean, I don't know if it's even a feel to unseat the whoever.
Just get your reps and start.
I think it's a function of like, I can't get any better unless I'm getting reps. You can't see how good I am unless I'm getting reps. Maybe not to go all the way to the top, but even like just to shuffle in the middle. And as far as the defensive line, and I remember they did this with, it may have been like 16, 17, 15, somewhere in there. I mean, they would sit a lot of the starting defensive linemen a lot in team situations because they couldn't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And I could foresee a situation where JT and Jack, they give them some, Tyleek, they get some, but hey, you guys go sit down. We need to get Kenyatta and Curry, these guys working. We've got some freshmen coming. We need all of these guys to develop.
Yeah.
Now, you guys can work an individual, and I want you to get better.
Inside run and all that good stuff.
But as far as teamwork, we need to get our young guys ready to play.
Yeah, those years that you were talking about, Bob, I remember, you know, Urban kind of delineated it was the 2000 rep club.
Like
if you had reached that level throughout your career, and some of them were like 2000 game reps, you don't need to practice in spring. And JT and Jack are certainly in that category as well.
Because they've proven themselves. They know what they're doing. They are at that, you know, that mature, older level of they're there to do a job. They know they're going to get it done.
Yes. So someone like Emeka Ibuka, JT Tuimoloau, you know, Jack Sawyer, Denzel Burke, Lathan Ransom, like these aren't the guys that we're talking about needing big springs. But who are some Buckeyes that we need to keep an eye on over these 15 practices? Nicole, where are you starting?
Mm. I've been thinking a lot about the running backs.
Have you?
And yes, because Quinshon Judkins, he actually had reached out. This is what I've heard. When he was coming to Columbus, it was really important to him to get involved in the community and giving back. And you know, That's right when I start loving you.
Okay, all right.
I just love it.
Good start there, Quint Sean.
I'm like, this kid's going to be great. Yeah. Now, haven't seen him play for our team yet, but and with Travion back, who's wonderful, who, like we were talking about, he was on the Buckeye Cruise, and just seeing him interact with people and just from a football performance as well, just him being back and Dallin Hayden as well, just how that's kind of going to all play out.
What do you want to do with those carries, Nicole? How are you going to divvy them out?
It's funny. We were just talking about the quarterbacks, and I was like, you need to give it to the newer guys and get down to business. But I kind of feel like all these guys are equivalent in the sense of needing the reps. But I also feel Travion's a guy that he doesn't want to be, or he's okay not being just the one guy to run that position, which I love that he... It's kind of like a partner effort. And I think that's really smart. I think it can be confusing for the other team. And I think that it's good for your body too, that you're not out there getting, you know, that you're not putting all those reps on just your own body.
Yeah, Trey may say, listen, I don't want to take all these reps during spring. Let's let the new guy get in here. I'm going to let my body continue
as well. I mean, this guy's had,
well, he's been around,
you know, 570 some touches.
I think it's more important for him just to get a feel for the offense and the new guys and the new system. But I don't think you need to run him raggedy. I think Dallin has fresh legs. He didn't play a lot last year for whatever reason. So I think you lean on him a lot this spring.
Sure.
And who would be four?
James Peoples and Sam Williams Dixon. So
yeah,
two.
So I would
James
not Peoples. To steal no, from you, but I would focus more on those three guys because if anything saw us over the last couple of years, we need probably four running backs that we can trust to go out there and get the job done.
It's a more pressing concern to develop those younger guys because Chip Traynham left through the transfer portal and Mayan Williams went to the NFL. So and Evan Pryor is no longer in the program as well. He transferred out. So that transition is more impactful for the bottom of the depth chart when you have both. Quinshon Judkins was already one of the best, if not the best, running back in the SEC, and the version of Travion that we saw in November was certainly one of the more impactful.
You feel pretty
players
confident about those guys.
Yeah. What more do they have to show? Probably not a lot. And the other part of that, like how much running are you actually going to do in spring practice? Like,
yeah, I think for Judkins, just to kind of get a feel of the offense of what they're trying to do, I think he will get some
being
more
in
reps.
The huddle, hearing cadences.
Yeah,
just everything's a little bit different.
Just so you can kind of roll through it and make sure that he feels really good. He's played a lot of football, but not in this system with this verbiage yet. And also, like, what runs he likes versus Trey. How you set things up. Are there specific...
Does he like to toss to the boundary? You can give that to him?
I heard he's a huge fan.
Oh, he likes that play?
Of the toss to the boundary. That's where he honestly got the majority of his yards, Austin. That's why they brought him in.
Chip Kelly's
That's
coming in.
That's why they brought him in.
He's like targeting him.
This guy gets it.
Chip comes in, and he's like, you know what, Ryan? I looked at the film. You guys don't run stretch to the boundary
enough.
Just
said more. The problem was, because you're just not doing it right. I've got better ways.
Maybe that's true. Him and Justin Fry, I'm like, we got some ideas because their run game together at UCLA was pretty darn good.
It was great. We got to pull more guys over there. And this is like just setting up the timing of how things are going to hit. So you got to remember, they're going to be integrating some new stuff. So I think they'll get those guys a little bit. But Dallin Hayden, I think, will get a lot of reps. And I think both of those guys, especially in bigger games, like in earlier games where the outcome isn't in doubt, they'll probably get those guys out fairly early. Make sure they're getting Dallin Hayden in there. His thing is, you got to hang on to the ball. You got to know what to do. When he has the ball in his hand, he's been really good.
Yes.
It's just a function of the other things at running back. You can't be a liability in pass pro, and you can't put the ball on the ground. And so if you can handle those two things and you can prove it, then I think that he'll be leaning more towards those guys of reps as opposed to maybe being down towards the bottom. Where I'm kind of looking at, it's kind of weird. Looking at the linebacker position, we've got Cody Simon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then that next one?
What does the rest of that look like? You know, they jumped in some three linebacker sets this year against certain teams. They may have to do that again. How does that shake out? Is Sonny Styles one of those guys? Does CJ Hicks come down? Gabe Powers. Some of the young guys are involved. Glover from Northwestern coming in. So kind of does he get to integrate in now? He came in like last year during camp.
Yeah,
like
we almost never mentioned him, Bob.
Well, it's because he came in. When you come in during training camp, maybe it like running back and receiver, but playing a position where you have to, there's a lot of things going on and you just can't like spot play a guy. Like your receiver, here's 10 plays. When you're in, we're going to call one of these and you'll always be in this spot. Running back, we'll give you the ball. You'll always do this and we'll package it for you. Whereas linebacker, you really can't do that. Not now with how they're kind of, you see up tempo defenses, offenses. So I think you can maybe see him involved a little bit there. And so how does that shake out? I mean, Cody's going to be the guy. I think he'll get a decent number of reps because you need somebody in there who can manage the traffic. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the one thing with Lathan Ransom. Like, you need traffic cops out there being able to kind of make sure everyone's where they need to be. And maybe, you know, you've got Jordan Hancock and his ability to do that as well. And then Caleb Downs, his integration there. But I think that trying to make sure that these guys all kind of fit in the middle of that defense, that's going to be very intriguing.
If you had to project it out, Bob, where do you see that going? Because I think it just feels like with the depth at safety that Sonny...
I don't think Sonny plays safety this year.
I think he has to play linebacker.
I think he
got to have him on the field, right?
I think
But you can't...
Are
you going to take Jordan Hancock off? I think that would be wasteful, but I don't know. You know better than me.
So. Yeah, I think this spring you'll see some of those guys play because they're going to want to see how it looks together. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need to see these lineups and these different iterations of this defense of, hey, if we do this, they come out in these different situations because Ohio State offense is one of the best in the country. And so you're going to get a good look. And so I think Sonny plays linebacker, but like, what do you have him do there? Is it something that maybe you do some three linebacker stuff, depending on what you're seeing? And then, like I said, maybe you're rotating Jordan out a little bit. I say maybe that's like a 10 to 15% of the plays because you don't necessarily need these guys on the field every play. And so if you can get different packages to spell a guy for, a play here or play there, I think that will bode well for them.
I think that's the hardest part I have in like envisioning what this looks like for Sonny is because
the waiting is the hardest part.
And they
Tom
said,
Petty told us that.
He's over R.I.P. and over. Yeah, to a real one. The hard part for me is if I say what's wasteful to take Jordan Hancock off the field, I'd feel the same way about Sonny Styles. Like, I think they need to be involved in it. For me, as I go in, and I don't expect to get an answer on Tuesday or Thursday or March 30th.
Keep asking.
I wouldn't even ask questions about it. I'm trying to wrap my mind around what that actually looks like because he's got to be on the field, but is he a better nickel than Jordan Hancock? Probably not. Is he a better...
Is he a better blitzer? Like, and there's certain things like we can get in this, and maybe it's a three-down package where it's kind of a 3-3-5. Like, and that, there's the opportunity to have some of that stuff. Now, there have to be willing participants at all levels that'll play into...
But guys, if you're setting up plays like that where you're only sending a guy in to do a certain play, doesn't that kind of draw attention to what play you're going to run?
Well, like, you do different things out of it.
Yeah, it's a good thought.
Believe me, because that's real. You can't just every time we put him in, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're going to blitz him every time.
I feel like people would catch on.
It will make you pay.
Yeah, you don't feel that's real. It's minus the feel. They will catch on, Nicole. It's a very astute point. And so it's a function of what can we do out of this? Like, can we get a handful of things to give us some diversity to where we can run some different packages and give a different look? And so I don't know. We'll see. That's going to be the challenge this spring with Jim Knowles and the defense of what can we handle?
You know, they have all their guys smart, back. Yeah. It's just like, where do you put everybody now? Yeah. And you have all this experience. You have all this leadership. Now just figure it out and put them all together.
Yeah. I mean, it's a luxury 100%. To have that many players that you're like, well, they all have to be on the field, and you can't. Like, you're too good. Sorry.
And you're basically on
the defensive
side. I don't know
if that's a luxury. I feel like that's a lot of decisions.
What's better than the alternative, which is you don't have enough to do it.
Spring ball is all about backups, basically, on the defensive side, right? I mean, you have your starters.
I think it's a little bit like, but just kind of figuring out where guys will fit.
Yeah, there's more to it as well, but you have a core group of dudes who came back, who understand what they're doing. You're not, it's not going to be learning or teaching a ton of new stuff to these guys. Mm-hmm. It's just learning or figuring out how to play them all together and get them all on the field in the best spots.
So who does that mean you're watching this spring, Jay-Z?
Well, this is not a fun one.
Uh-oh.
Well, everybody's worried about the quarterback and the offensive line. Whatever, we talked about that. I was just thinking, I was talking to some buddies, what's our tight end situation look like?
Ooh.
We had Stover who could run block, and you could do it all.
Do it all, yep.
Now we're what, G. Scott? The new kid from OU.
Will Kazmarek.
Will Kazmarek.
Mm-hmm. Will Kazmir.
And
World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, I just thought, do we have a run blocker in that room that we can trust to go out there? And I don't know, is the kid from OU?
I think they expect that
Kazmarek
can do.
Have you ever seen Bill Kazmir? World's Strongest Man. Yeah, you're telling me he can't blunt? It is a son. It is a son.
It's not.
They changed the name.
Just shorten the name.
Yes.
He just didn't want to be too popular. So he, yeah. But
I think that there is an expectation that he can do all the things that Kate Stover did.
Well, maybe not to that degree.
Well, maybe he's going to have to go do it for the first time on Tuesday. And there's a difference between being a good MAC tight end and coming in and competing against Ohio State's defense to be ready for the Big Ten. And maybe he can do that. We're going to find out.
Well, and maybe he can stay healthy the whole year. I mean, it's like we, you know, when Cade went down last year, I felt like we felt that a little bit when he was a little banged up.
Sure.
So Ryan likes to use some two tight ends every, you know, from time to time to switch things up. Are we going to feel comfortable doing that? You know, with a new quarterback, tight ends can be your best friends. You know, I love the tight end. It's just your security blanket almost. Can we trust those guys? Do we have guys that we can keep in there for all the plays where it's not like, oh, he's in. Scott's going to run a – he's running a route here. You know, we know they're not running the ball. So, you know, figuring that out along with the offensive line, and I think, you know, up front offensively will be a big spring.
No, that's a good one.
Seeing who – seeing who has come. Jelani Thurman was the one that I forgot to talk about. But, I mean, he's a big kid, you know, very athletic. You know, does he take that next step and become a great, you know, a run blocker and can do it all?
He gets bigger, I think, every time I see him. It's pretty –
That's a good thing.
It's wild. So, what is your biggest question for the spring, Nicole?
I honestly, I feel like I'm going back to the running backs. Okay, and I'm just...
You're thinking that much about
how they're going to manage the Rooster's truck on student appreciation day.
No, I'm excited for that.
She's not running it. She's going to come watch student appreciation.
But I think it's also the quarterbacks, too. Okay. You know, I mean, although I feel they're going to know. Like, I don't know. I just... They brought a guy in... You know, specifically. So I feel like that's where the focus is going to be. I don't know that for sure. It's just the vibe I'm getting. But I'm just interested with this running back situation of just seeing how the guys share it, seeing how well they are as teammates. And like what you were just talking about too, Justin, the tight ends too. Just we have some changes. And if we have we are going to have a brand new quarterback who's new to this entire team, to see how the relationships build and the trust amongst themselves.
Okay, so Nicole clearly wants to see more out of the Ohio State running game in 2024.
Yes.
I love it.
Thank you for breaking that down for me, as my brain was doing the ADHD thing.
That is a fine place to start, because I think there were some improvements made last year, but it's not back to maybe a fully efficient ground game the way that Ryan Day would want it to be. And there's still room to grow there.
Yeah, there is.
There's always room to grow.
There's great players there to help them grow.
And that's
I think a lot of that starts up front as well.
It's a collective effort. Yeah, sometimes it would be on the backs. Sometimes it would be on the tight ends. Sometimes it would be on the play calling, which, as we already joked about, we made it till March 4th before we started talking about stretching to the boundary. Like, good for us. We really put that in the past.
But your questions, I mean, like, are you looking more at that side of the game, or do you have more questions about the other side?
I think the only thing that I'm really uncertain about for Ohio State that I'm curious about starting on Tuesday morning is the right side of the offensive line. So it is tied in to the rushing attack. Is Josh Fryer going to practice on Tuesday at right guard or right tackle? That's going to, I think, tell us a lot about...
Maybe both.
Could be both. And I don't know, Bob, if it seems like you and I are maybe not completely in sync on this two-field stuff. But if I'm getting what I want, which is putting one unit together, and Ohio State wants to find out if somebody else can play right tackle, and if Josh Fryer is better suited to guard, shouldn't he take all 15 practices in March and April playing guard and then get an evaluation of Zen Mihalski, Tegra Shibola, and Luke Montgomery at right tackle?
Maybe he does.
Okay.
Maybe he gets most of the guard one reps, maybe a little tackle sprinkled in. Okay. Maybe he just needs – I mean, because I would say it's safe to say structurally he knows what's going on. Now, there's going to be some difference in plays, but the terminology is going to be largely the same. So I think maybe he gets some pass block – like he can take some one-on-one reps at guard and tackle. You can do a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. And he can probably do maybe some more guard this season, like during spring ball. But you can always move him back out to tackle. Mm-hmm. He's played both over the course of his career, which is probably the great luxury they have, that it's not really a true projection. You've watched a guy play guard. You've watched him now start a season to tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel pretty good about his ability to execute on both if needed. where do you fit in with the other guys? Like, that's the question. Are you better with him at right tackle and someone else at right guard? Or is he better at right guard with one of the younger guys playing tackle? I don't know that answer yet. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think Ryan Day does either.
Right. And that's why it's, to me, Nicole's asking what I'm looking at. I think that the linebacker situation, there's a surplus there. And there, that may be the case in the offensive line, too. We'll see after 15
pair bucks. And a spare.
Yeah, I think that they're, whether it winds up being Gabe Powers, C.J. Hicks, Nigel Glover, or Sonny Styles next to Cody Simon, I feel pretty confident that they'll get an answer. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the defense is so freaking good, it may not even matter that much.
Play with 10.
I don't know if they can go quite to that
level. We'll answer it by not playing the guy.
No. It's an idea.
How do we get him on the field? Yeah. By not. Less is
by not. But look how good we're going to be.
All things need to be considered. Maybe you rule that out.
Jim Norton is.
Maybe rule that out for
he's a maverick. He's a maverick.
He's the first one. He's like, well, we tried that. It immediately led to a bust. Let's put 11th guy back out there. But
so I've had a coach tell me we'd rather have one less guy on the field if you're going to play like that. So, I mean, there is that option sometimes.
There is that, yes.
Don't try that.
You're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting the rest of the guys.
Mm-hmm. Like, you'd be better if you just didn't play at all.
Running into other guys. They can't even do their job. We would be more functional if you were not out here. I've heard that
I
said.
I feel bad for that person.
It's not the feedback you want.
No.
One of my favorite was when we played Mario Williams at NC State. Jay will tell the story. Haycock said, "We wanted him." He pointed over to Mario Williams. He's like, "But we got you."
But you know what we got today?
What do we get?
Some cheesy bacon fries. Mm. We got the curly fries with the bacon, the cheese.
This one is bursting with cheese.
There is a hot load of cheese on there, and it looks absolutely delicious and tremendous. And it's going to be $3 all Tuesday long on an appetizer Thursday.
Let's go.
Nicole, we also have St. Patty's Day coming up in a couple of weeks. I mean, is there any festivities
or
anything?
You guys have green beer?
You know what? We do. It's like a
green eggs and ham, green chickens.
Per store basis.
Okay.
And then, like, when I would bartend back in the day, you'd leave, your fingers would be, like, stained green for quite a few days. Oh, okay. But it's festive, you know? So sometimes the bartenders do it, sometimes they don't. But it's more just basketball.
Ooh, that's right. Yeah.
And the Lenten menu, which is one of my favorites of the year.
I'm so glad you love it. It is really good.
Get the po' boy sandwich.
Everybody loves it.
And get some of, you know, your favorite sauce on the shrimp.
I like that.
And then you're really, really cooking something.
Usually I open up with a classy line.
I'm so glad
Austin.
You like that menu. That menu is so good.
Can I buy you a fifth sandwich?
You sure can, Mike Tyson.
Tim Meadows. That's Mr. Leon Phelps.
Did Mr. Leon Phelps just take that accent straight from Mike Tyson?
He modeled his character after him.
Yes, I think so.
It's crushed. Jay-Z, did you have a question, or are we just letting Nicole go? She's got a lot of work to
do. Is Jeremiah Smith the man for that number three spot?
Is he the man?
Because we got, Tate and Emeka.
Mm-hmm. I heard Marvin say that Tate is further along than he was at that time.
Really?
I've heard that.
Now, that's a compliment.
Yeah, it is.
I would be on a high from that.
But I also heard that Marvin Harrison returned to the Woody this week to work out with Jeremiah Smith.
Well,
Buckeyes, I don't know.
I can tell you that this morning, Marvin Harrison Jr. was on the Monarch Machine with Jeremiah Smith.
Mm-hmm. He was in the Woody.
And
teaching the young buck, huh?
So if anyone else was worried about Marv's no-show to the interviews at the Combine, with the dumbest thing in the world, Marv's still doing the work.
Yes.
And Jeremiah Smith was out there getting in some reps with
I like to hear that.
One of the best wide receivers Ohio State's ever seen.
Yeah.
You know Marv loves talking to the media. It's his favorite thing to do.
He's actually very good at it. He did it a ton last year, way more than he needed to.
He's a very articulate young man. His dad, I don't know if I could find you an interview with his dad in it, though.
Their personalities are a little different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Marv's a little more outgoing, but Marv Jr., that is.
A lot more outgoing. Anyway, Jeremiah Smith, that's a good one. All right. Got that all that covered. Everything going on at Roosters. Nicole has so much work to do. We're going to let her go.
So dying that green beer.
Going to tag Berm in here for the second half of the show in the Horseshoe Lounge at Roosters. It's a fun, casual joint.
Roosters has been so fortunate. We just want to be able to give some of that back to the community.
They donate to organizations that are near and dear to their heart. And we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long time.
They always go above and beyond to help support our foundation to further help veterans.
It's just a wonderful feeling to know that Roosters supports the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters. Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Welcome back into Roosters, and Berm has arrived. Hey. He's ready for spring ball.
Hello, spring football is here. Neat. Also, spring weather with it.
Ooh, baby.
For today. Beautiful.
Oh, it's going to be warm all week. It's going to be a couple
awesome
weeks.
Week.
Don't, no, I heard, don't I heard
speak,
it was...
Jay-Z, don't speak that evil. What's
no, it is not getting cold. It might be rainy, but it's not going
to
be cold.
I talked to somebody today whose husband was listening to the frogs outside yesterday.
The frogs told him?
Biologist of some sort. And he said, we have three freezes to go.
The frogs said that?
They're coming this week. There's at least one this weekend. I mean, it's supposed to drop back.
I think if the frogs are saying that, means there's a plague.
I'm telling you, dude. I just learned this.
Listen to the frogs.
Wow.
What do the frogs think about Ohio State's secondary play?
It's going to be really good.
Sounds like a deep freeze. No fly zone.
Absolutely. I like where you're going.
Which is unfortunate because frogs eat flies.
I don't know what this alleged freeze that you're talking about.
Bob's meteorologist told me like March is going to be cold.
Let me tell you this. You know what the meteorologists are into?
Well,
fear pandering.
100%.
That's all they're about. They're going to tell you things.
They can tell you anything they want.
Just to lure you in to bring you more.
They have no consequences.
They never face any repercussions.
It's an inexact science. If it doesn't rain, nobody's mad.
So,
anyhow.
Anyway.
You know what else is an inexact science? Projecting spring ball.
Yeah.
What do the Buckeyes need to accomplish in your mind over these 15 workouts?
Yeah. Well, you got to find out who your quarterback is.
Okay.
I think that's pretty much priority one. Again.
If it's not Will Howard, is there a problem?
I don't think so.
Not after this quote I just read second stringer.
It's what we talked about.
It was aggressive.
Yeah, very aggressive.
Get out of your mom's basement.
He called those people suggesting he's going to transfer cowards.
Yeah.
Said that they lived in the basement, and then dropped some profanity, which if I had a bingo card of the six players that were talking on Monday at the Woody for dropping some of that you had to bleep out, Devin Brown would have been the last choice that I would have.
That's amazing.
He would have been first.
I mean, that was a straight
first. No.
Today's list?
He's fired up.
Out of that group?
Absolutely.
No way.
He would have been first.
I mean,
Donovan Jackson's way too nice.
Yeah.
Emeka and Travion are both extremely, like, faith-driven at this moment. They're not out there dropping
at this moment.
I'm saying they've reached this point in their life where 90% of the conversation that they have is about faith. Lincoln's too timid and shy to do that at this point. And Will Howard's in his first month on campus. He's not going to do it. Brown's the only choice.
Will Howard's won a conference championship.
I know, but he was not going to come out in his second media appearance at Ohio State and start dropping cuss words.
So now, Devin Brown, I mean, isn't he Mormon?
Allegedly,
he's from Mormish.
He's from the land of.
I think, but regardless, I mean, Bob. The question
allegedly.
Is: if you don't get an answer, is there a problem? I don't. I mean, I guess that depends on.
Is it because everybody's so good or everyone's so bad?
Right. Well, I'm saying like that's a yes.
No,
problem.
They're all so great. Devin Brown. Devin Brown has an advantage here. Devin Brown has a built-in advantage in this battle, and it's sort of. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody, and we've talked in the last month and a half about...
You've dismissed him. I get it.
No, I mean, we've all just leapt to the conclusion that Will Howard's going to be a starting quarterback, and I don't know... Maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment, and Devin Brown today wooed me like he always does, because when the dude talks and we get to meet him, hang out with him in person, he's so charismatic, and so you can understand why people flock to him as a leader, but... You have to be healthy and you have to be productive as a quarterback. And we haven't seen that happen yet with him, but you know that he's going to go out there and lay it on the line. That's what you love about having a kid like that is in that room. Right?
I once heard you define him as like a Jim Harbaugh style of quarterback. I'm pretty sure you did.
The comparison that he has always made is Joe Burrow.
I'm 1,000% confident you've never heard me compare him to Jim Harbaugh, who was, by the way, a pretty darn successful quarterback.
Maybe I incepted your mind. I think
might have been in there walking around one day.
I'm going to be real. I mean,
you don't want to incept that mind. I promise you there's going to be things to see that you don't want to see.
Be in
there.
The corner just
I don't think that's not a comparison I would make now. Okay. But you can see that Devin, I mean, this is going into his third year in the program. Like, he should have the advantage over
Will Howard. Burn the ships.
So, if he comes out, if you go out of spring camp and you don't have a quarterback and it's neither one of those guys, maybe it's a problem because you certainly expect them both to put best foot forward. But, I don't think it's a guaranteed problem. If you come out and you only have one, that's good. If you have none and they're both not living up to expectations.
Said you show up at 2491 Olentangy River Road, Woody Hayes Athletic Facility, and I'll tell you what the hell's going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
I mean, I thought they were cutting. I mean, I know we're getting WWE's coming to town. I thought that may. Yeah, did he get confused that he was cutting for that?
A little promo?
Carl's living in the basement with her.
I thought it was just good to, you know, I like when kids come out and say, stop talking about me as if I'm not here.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to know if I'm going
Joaquin
to transfer.
Phoenix did a I'm Still Here, that documentary he did. Is that what you're telling me about?
Yeah, Devin Brown and Joaquin Phoenix, to me, are basically
that is a comparison that he's made a lot.
I can't believe he had to sit here and listen to some guy scream his name.
It's unbelievable.
I think your question, though, Bob, like, it's a matter of perspective.
Yeah.
Isn't part of the issue from what we had to spend all last year talking about the quarterbacks was like, because
nobody
either
took
one
the
of
job.
Them actually like took the job by the scruff of the neck and said, I'm going to be the guy. Like,
scruff of the neck.
Yeah. Don't you think, like, I think it would be amazing if we got to April 13th and whoever wins it, I do not care who it is. I expect that it's going to be Will Howard because of what Burham said, like that you went out and got a proven starter who won a Big 12 championship and put off the NFL draft. Like, there has to be a reason that you did that. But I don't, if it's Devin Brown or Lincoln Keenholz or Julian Sayin or Aaron Nolan, I do not care. If somebody demonstrably proves that they are the starter for Ohio State, good. Like, because that is the issue and why there was so much uncertainty and arguing in gray area last year, because neither Kyle McCord nor Devin Brown did that.
But was that the case? Or, because I mean, I feel like they went to Kyle pretty quick last year in the games.
I mean,
like it was like, we're going to do this, but I feel like it was Kyle's job.
What do you mean?
I mean, our second game of the year was against Notre Dame, right?
Well,
or was it third?
But even before then, I felt like Kyle had more.
I felt like he was the 1A. Man, he was one. I felt like that. I didn't feel like it was a true competition. You get this first series, he gets in the next series.
Is it getting better, or does it feel the same?
Was supposed to be over by the time.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Started. But why did they linger that on when it did?
Because Kyle didn't
like,
take the job and run with it. Yeah. I mean,
do you have to let it linger?
You do. If Kyle would have not let it linger and taken the job and run with it and just played like a man on, you know, hair on fire and played like the quarterback of your dreams, then who cares, right? But he didn't. Yeah. And Devin actually was asked about
a personality thing.
Could be. Devin was asked about it today, and he said that he didn't think that the way they split reps last year hurt either one him or Kyle. I disagree. I know you do as well. Like, I think that it stops you, and you know this in as a former quarterback. Like, when you have to keep looking over your shoulder, 100%. Man, like, that makes it really, really hard to just settle in and focus on the job. And Devin Brown said that on Monday. Like, going into the Cotton Bowl, he felt better than he ever had. And then he gets hurt again, and it sucks. But, like, he knew that it was his job. Somebody needs to win that job in spring. And that's the bottom line for me. Otherwise, this season, which is a potential national championship season, you know, every season's a potential national championship season if we're doing probabilities, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Ohio State's generally in the top five.
But this feels like a season that is set up for Ohio State to have a real, like, more than fighter's chance to win a national championship.
Odds on favorite?
Yes, probably.
You would think so.
If you go into that without a quarterback in the fall, like that to me is a problem.
Ryan Day has a tendency, even when it's as clear as it could possibly be with Justin Fields, to not do that.
Most coaches don't.
I understand why. You want to keep everybody motivated. There's incentive, and there always has been, to keep guys in the program, which Jay-Z can probably speak more eloquently on that than I can. But anymore, especially with the portal opening again, 2 days after the spring game,
more portal.
It does feel like you have to have a plan for all five of these guys. You talked about that, Bob.
That was my point. Like, you got
to get them playing.
If I sit there and I'm like, hey, everyone else got roughly, you know, they split 20-20-20-20, and I somehow got like 5% of the reps. Like, well,
but the,
are you giving me a shot to even improve? I just want to play football.
Yeah,
not stand over here.
I do think that that it's different for Julian Sayin and Aaron Nolan than the other three. Because if you have conversations with them, it's like you're going to get some reps. They may not be a bunch of scrimmage reps for the two true freshmen. Like, you're learning where to go, where the drills are. You're going to be involved like in fundamental stuff. But this spring specifically is for 2024 national championships. And you guys are probably more geared towards next spring, 2025. Mm-hmm. That's the conversation that I'm like expecting they're going to have, because they have to by April 13th, in my opinion. I think Berm is, you know, going down this path as well. You have to know if it's what that order of the three is. And if Lincoln Kienholz, which he sounded on Monday like he's a little more open to the idea that it may take him into 2025, you have to let people make their decision for the good of the program and in fairness to the three players.
For the good of the group. Whether or not you have a decision made on April 14th, there's a chance that someone's going to make a decision for you on April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem.
Well, that's my point. We went 40 minutes without mentioning the portal, and then you had to go bring it up.
Well, I mean, I
was the one that was trying to solve problems, get everybody reps.
I don't
think he didn't want anybody in the portal.
Answers the portal.
I don't think Aaron Noland or Julian Sain factor into this conversation.
I don't, but I think if one of them doesn't get any reps,
like, they'll get some. And I think, I mean,
that's why I think they're trying to do two fields.
Reps, right?
Yeah, those two will be split on doing their own thing and almost probably working like side by side and head to head together from now until next January. And then you figure it out from there. But, you know, talking to Lincoln Kienholz on Monday, he definitely understands like that he's the third guy in this battle, but he thinks he's good enough to win it.
He's been here for a year. Yeah, he knows the system.
He can be the guy if they need him to be the guy, but he didn't get the impression he wants
to be the man. You got to beat the man.
Or thinks he's going to be the guy. Like, I think he understands that heading into this is really a Devin Brown and Will Howard situation. And, you know, but it doesn't mean that opportunities aren't going to come up for him. The coach that he was committed to for 6 months is now the head coach at Alabama. So, like, it's they might need a quarterback. Who knows? You never know what happens.
No. What?
Are you quit making these
suggestions? I guarantee you,
moved ahead six spaces.
I guarantee you, Kalen DeBoer has reached out to Lincoln Kienholz's family.
That is tampering, Berm, and that is illegal.
No, it's not illegal. There are no rules.
You know, something say something.
You can't be punished anymore. The NCAA.
I guarantee you, Kalen DeBoer has in some way reached out.
Pull back our level one violation allegedly talking to someone in the portal.
They shouldn't.
It doesn't pay, to be honest.
Yeah. How are they going to prove it?
I know is anymore. We self-reported a conversation.
Why would you self-report anything?
Because it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
For the group.
That's okay. Right.
Anyway,
you're talking about the right thing to do for these guys on your team. You got to live it.
So you got
to
show them. Yeah.
All right.
But quarterback is the only thing that matters over these next few weeks. Period.
Well, the offensive line ties into the quarterback.
I would beg to differ. I would agree with Jay-Z. I watched your bowl game where the offensive line made. I don't know if I could fairly assess Lincoln Kienholz by what was going
exactly.
on.
Obviously, they need to have an answer on the right side at right tackle, if it's Fryer or not. But that is a situation.
Who would you handicap as your starting right tackle? Day one, Berm. Mm.
I think it's going to
get on the Luke, the
like,
Luke train.
What do you mean, like? Day one in fall?
Tomorrow? Yeah. Or no, who, season
who,
of fall?
Season
who
of
opens the game? Who sits on the iron
starting
throne?
Against Akron?
Yep. Yeah.
I think it'll be Luke Montgomery.
Luke, he looked good last year. He just was a freshman. So.
I'm not going to rule out Zen Mihalski or Tegra Shibola or Josh Fryer. It could be any one of those guys, but I think it will be Luke Montgomery.
And so given that, you think?
I think Josh will kick inside.
Okay. And who do you think? So you think it'll be McLaughlin at center then?
It has to be.
So you're
that
off
would be the biggest.
Heineke.
Carson Hinsman is going to need. I mean, I've heard through the grapevine that he's had a really good last like 6 weeks.
Okay,
and that mentally, whatever the block he was having in end of November, early December, was
such slugs would headbutt him every morning. So he forgot everything. That he
I've
ever
heard
knew.
Things are going like in a positive direction for him, but he could play guard also. But I still think he's not going to be the starting center. Seth McLaughlin will be the starting center.
That seems more of a certainty than any of those portal moves. You definitely don't make that one without a clear plan. I think that's clear.
I'm in acquiring talent, but then you got to figure out how it fits as a team.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do here, especially on the offensive line. A lot of different pieces.
Well, that's,
you know?
That's one of the interesting things about this spring is that you have a group of guys who played a lot of football, with the exception of the Montgomery, the Mihalski, Shibola wing of the party.
Wing.
But
with the extremists,
the rest of the offensive line has played a lot of ball, but not all together. And so now,
maybe not in these positions.
And so it actually is a pretty important time for those guys to get cohesive as a unit and figure out who that other guy is. But I mean, in an ideal world, you'd head into this season with Donovan Jackson saying, don't worry about playing this spring. Like, we're going to figure it out. Or Josh Simmons, you'd have to say, hey, don't worry about it. You're our starting left tackle. But now it's like they have to learn to play as a group. And so you actually have to keep them out there far more than you would in a normal spring season when you have that much veteran depth on the offensive line. So that's kind of interesting. But offensive line and quarterback. I'm going to break some news here.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Breaking news. Oh,
the offensive line and the quarterback oftentimes determine how good your football team is.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yep.
Who told you?
I heard someone once say that Ohio State, when they're at their best, is an offensive line-driven program.
Bill Clinton said that?
He also said he didn't have relations with that woman.
I'm here to tell you, offensive line. Love them Hawks.
Well,
did you rediscover how to do accents? I mean,
there you go.
Voices? Impressions?
It's not an accent.
It's a life.
That's how you
it's
actually
a lifestyle.
Talk. Yeah. You've actually been talking.
Billy Clinton is a lifestyle.
Yes, it is.
That's a good one.
His brain has actually been broken for like 4 years and not being able to do impressions anymore. So I'm optimistic today.
So the bottom line on his way back.
Did Schlegs headbutt him?
We need Schlegs to headbutt everyone. How's he enjoying himself?
I think he's, it's slowly sucking the life force from his heart.
Attaboy. That's what we like to hear.
He just pours so much in that he needs to get his love cup filled up. So he might need a call from you guys to energize him and reinvigorate him with life.
Well, again, of things you've heard, like the players have loved.
Who doesn't love him, by the way? Like, is there anybody who's met Schlegs who really doesn't love him?
That would
like
be the first time I heard it. If they didn't get juice from being around Schlegs.
Unless it's someone who just is a turd who doesn't like to work and just generally hates life. Schlegs is high on life and just is going to make you high on life too.
There's a very low turd threshold on this roster right now. So
It's a group of elite young men.
Bob, you can help him out. Just bring him into Roosters for Appetizer Threes Day, and especially on Mac and Cheese Day, because that's his favorite. Mac and Cheese Bites.
He had his 20th wedding anniversary. He just turned 43 years old. I mean, he's basically like Matt Foley. He lives in a van down in Pickaway County.
Down by the old Tangy.
Wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, passes out at 8:30, and just does it all again. Drinks 48 cups of coffee a day. He doesn't have time to eat Roosters because all he's doing is ingesting coffee.
Help him out, Bob. Take him some down there.
It's a black coffee with a double shot of espresso.
Well, we need to get him back in here soon. He's been missing, and we never actually got our mac and cheese bite competition for charity with Berman.
Oh, there's still time. The
mac and cheese bite off.
Yeah. I didn't want to call
that.
That
sounds good.
That's the only thing you can call it.
I don't want to.
It's the appropriate term.
All right. Spring ball starts tomorrow. Cannot wait. We're going to have a lot more to talk about with the Buckeyes over the next 6 weeks. Although, nothing ever stops us from doing that anyway at Roosters, which is a fun casual joint. Thanks to Nicole Cox and Roosters, Jay-Z, Bob, and Berm. I'm Austin. We'll be back in here again next Monday. We'll see you then.